Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Is that hard as being the person that has the lower libido?
I think when I was younger, I struggled with it more because I think I'm just more comfortable with myself and certainly in this relationship that I know how to communicate. And if I'm not in the mood to like not feel like I'm ruining their life.
Welcome back to another episode of Awkward Sex in the City. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What is life? Has your summer been good to you? Has it been shit to you? I hope it hasn't been shit to you. I notice when I start these intro outros, I don't know if it's dark, but I'm just like, how are you? What is happening? I think that's because that's just my MO with everyone that I know. I'm just like, hey, I know you said good, like you're doing good, but like, how are you doing? Because I think a lot of times we don't get the option or we don't feel like we have the opportunity to kind of speak the truth of like where we're at right now. Like, to be honest, I had a shitty day yesterday. Received some unsatisfactory news, cried it out, still feeling it now in my bones. And that's okay. You know, I think I've said this a million times on the pod, which also, by the way, we kind of bypassed the 5-year anniversary of this podcast. I completely fucking forgot about it because that's kind of life. Now everything's just moving way too fast. And insert that Ferris Bueller quote here. But I think a big thing has always been like feel the feels, right? Like respect the feelings, deal with them, because if not, you just implode. If not today, tomorrow, another fucking day. Granted, that's nothing about what the podcast is today. Like, it's not what it's about. I scream into the microphone. But it's always like my intros are like my mini pod to like check in on you and honestly myself too. I don't know about you guys, but I talk everything out, like everything. If not to Aaron, to myself, like literally out loud to myself. It's just kind of how. I don't know if it's like self-regulate. It's just kind of like I've always dealt with things. Because once you say them out loud, it's either like the power is taken away or it becomes grounded. For me, at least. It's not, you know, what everyone does, which is totally fine. Anywho, let's get to the podcast. This episode, I had one of my favorite fucking people in the world, Jen Keefe. You've known Jen for so long. Jen, God, I feel like we met back in like 2013, 2014, like when we were babies. She has toured off and on with me for years on Awkward Sex in the City. She was her first Awkward Sex show was my 2-year anniversary show in the city, which is also wild. Like I'm walking into my 10-year anniversary with the New York City show and my 9-year anniversary touring. And it's always so interesting. Everyone's like, I just feel like everyone's like on the outside, it looks like really cool, right? But at the same time, like that's 10 years of time of things not going well all the time, going really shitty sometimes, you know? And it's messy and there's been so many tears and so many ups and downs and just a reminder, like things take time, but that's okay. And is she saying that to herself a little bit too? Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know. July and August tend to have like a lot of change for me in general. Personally, I think, you know, also I'm an August birthday, so that's kind of just, it feels that like it's there. But let me get back to what this pod's about. We talk about everything. Jen just got engaged. We get to talk about her engagement because it's fucking iconic. We talk about obviously life. We talk about, you know, porn gets, you know, a smattering of porn. But Jen is so easy to talk to. I love her so much. I know you're going to love her. She's been on the podcast before, but it's been like years since she's been on the podcast. And it's just, I don't know, like every time it's a good time. And I can't wait to hear your thoughts and what you think. And we'll talk so long. We'll talk so long from now. We'll talk so soon. And remember to rate, like, subscribe, download, follow us at Awkward Sex in the City on all the social medias. We're taking a break touring wise because summer, I've just really wanted a summer this year. I mean, we did June, which was great. DC and Philly was a great time. And then we're starting back up like end of September, October for kind of like a West Coast leg. It's going to be great. LA, Seattle, all these places. I'm so excited. And then follow Jen at Hey Jen Keefe, K-E-E-F-E on all the socials and go like and follow her. And, you know, she's just a great person with a heart of gold. And I'm so glad that I've gotten to know her for so long and sit down with her today.
So the first thing I do want to ask, though, is how did you pull off the engagement? Like, how did you do that?
Primarily by being a Virgo.
Yes.
No, it was extremely elaborate. Let me tell you from the beginning. Yeah. So I had never, ever seen, I had never watched Real Housewives until 2020. My girlfriend, Melissa, who you know, is a Bravo-holic, has been, you know, since she was like 14. And, you know, we had been together probably like six years in 2020. And she had begged me for all of those years to watch Real Housewives. But I was like, I just tune out as soon as they're fighting. I'm really not interested in it. But, you know, I had nothing else to do in the pandemic, and I watched Real Housewives of New York. It was specifically the first episode I watched was, for any Bravoholics out there, the Cartagena episode where they are at sea and it's a yacht ride gone awry and they get seasick and like Ramona shits on a carpet in a hotel. And I was hooked.
I don't even remember that.
Do you watch Housewives?
I get this question a lot because my vibe is yes, I do. I have a certain Bravo ones that I love. Like, I'm a huge Southern Charm fan. Like, holy shit, lose my mind for that. I was a huge Jersey fan, like the OG cast with like Caroline and like her children and shit. But I've really fallen off. I was just told recently there's like a whole new changing of the guard for New York. Like, they got rid of everyone. Though Sonia was fucking hilarious. Like, her eyes were always like this. And I'm like, okay.
I love Sonia. So Sonia and Luann have a show right now on Peacock that's really actually heartwarming.
Aww.
They have a spinoff where they go to a town, a rural town in Indiana, and like volunteer.
And
it's a great like culture clash. But sorry, got off topic. So when I knew that me and Melissa wanted to pursue matrimony for tax reasons, I knew I wanted it to be stupid, like our engagement. I wanted it to be so stupid because we're just not like serious people when it comes to those. I think a lot of queer couples sometimes are trying, when it comes to like marriage, they really try to be as hetero as possible and like follow every tradition and convention. This is of course not every queer person, but there's certainly a type that like is in my circle that like tries to like get down on one knee, and there's boats and yachts, and it's like you get to make this up. There are no rules. So I knew whatever we did to get engaged, we had spoke very candidly. I have no desire to ever get proposed to, so I would be the one proposing. So I knew it wanted to be stupid, and I got the idea that, oh my God, Countess Luann does this cabaret show, and from like 2020 to 2022, she had no shows, and then finally in like January 2023, she announced she was doing shows again. So I went to book the show in New York, but honestly, the tickets were like $250 per person, which is crazy, because I had to, the way my way to surprise Melissa with this was, she works for a company, a media company, we'll say.
Yeah, I was, and like, you seemed, can't say what company that is. Yes.
And it seemed realistic that through her work, she would get like tickets to a Countess Luann show. Mm-hmm. So I emailed her coworkers the whole plan, and I said, listen, I'm going to be doing this at Countess Luann's show. Let me know if you can go. It was with Bianca, Brianna, MC, Ariana. It's four people. And I said, let me know if you can make it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to rent a Sprinter van, because the housewives, whenever they travel to like the Hamptons or anywhere, they travel in a Sprinter van. I said, I'm going to rent a Sprinter van. I'm going to get tickets for all of us for the show. And you're going to tell Melissa, oh my God, Luann's publicist is giving us this like VIP night with Countess Luann. We're going to like meet her backstage. That was my idea. And one of them, I was planning, I've literally got Luann's agent's information on IMDb, and I was going to email her and mm-hmm. tell her I was doing this. And, you know, if they want to make it part of the show or something, you know, that'd be cool. And instead, I had one of her coworkers who works at a media company send that email. So it would, Luann's, you know, agent would be a little more responsive to an email from her than from like random old me.
Yeah, from at mediacompany.com. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So she sent the email. Luann's team responded. They were so down and so lovely. Shout out to Samantha Diane, Luann's manager. and they helped. They were like, this is what we're going to do. There's going to be a drag queen, Hanukkah Lewinsky, running the Q&A. Shout out to Hanukkah. And we're going to have you be, it's amazing. We're going to have you be the last question of the Q&A. And I said, perfect. So yeah, the whole ruse was we were getting on a Sprinter van to go to this VIP night at Luann's Tarrytown show, because the New York show was too expensive. So we all went to Tarrytown, New York, and we're like in this Sprinter van blasting like Feeling Giovanni with like the Tappan Zee Bridge and glistening in the distance. And that's how I did it. Yeah, she was really surprised.
Were you at any point nervous that Melissa would say no in front of this crowd and in front of Luann?
No, I was not, thankfully. yeah, I was feeling, we had talked about it enough that it was going to be a yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was, the Insta stories are spectacular. And I can't even imagine being on the other side, because it's funny. I do think there's a proposer and a proposee if people want to do that part of life. And I was very clear and very adamant of like, I thought I was clear and adamant about it, because we had talked about it a lot, about like get marriage. Like that was like obviously a thing we were going to do. And then I think one day I was like, yeah, you're going to propose, right? And he was like, no. Like I thought, he was like, I thought like it was like a feminist thing to not propose to you. And I was like, no, I still want you down on one knee. I was like, do not do it in public. Do not do it in front of people. But I want a proposal. And I think that's the same. Like, it sounds like Melissa was like, I would also like a proposal, please.
She said, yeah, but she was pretty, I begged for information. She couldn't tell me if she wanted a ring until January 2023. She didn't even know if she wanted that. And this show was in February 2023. So once she gave me confirmation, yes, I am interested in an engagement ring, I moved very quickly, knowing that this show was like, Luann just hasn't been doing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. So she didn't even know if she wanted a ring, but eventually she was into it. And now I'd say she's really into it. As I'm sure you were when you got like a nice thing, hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a cheap date. My ring in total, the ring and the, because it was a package set. So it was like, you got the engagement ring. And then there's like I'm not even wearing it. I never wear my ring. it was like, I think a total of 500 for both, like the engagement and then like the wedding ring.
Yep.
Because I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't think I need anything. Like, I have no money. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone spending a buttload of money. Because what is it? It's like crazy. 3 months salary.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I was nannying in Westport, Connecticut, which those days. So at the time, it was like the seventh wealthiest county in the nation. And let me tell you, it is disgusting. So Aaron was like, I need your ring size. Like, I need you to figure that out. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be able to do this correctly via Google. So I went into Tiffany's because, of course, Westport has a Tiffany's in their fucking downtown. And every ring they put on me was like 60 grand, 80 grand. One was like 150. And then like, oh my God, they will not let you leave. They were like, we need your email. Cause I'm assuming they make a commission. They want that sale. It was very hard to get them. Cause me, you know, I mean, I'm such a people pleaser. I'm like, oh no, thank you. But thank you so much. Maybe I'll think about it. Like, I'm good. I just needed that size. I just needed to know what the fuck my ring, what finger was. That was a very fun. I think I actually walked in with a Princess Nokia t-shirt that said like, don't fuck with me. And it didn't work. It didn't work.
Dang.
But the whole like idea of like engagements too and marriage is like wild. And I also have a tax tip for you later for when you guys do your taxes for the first time. Actually, I'll say it now because it's not a secret.
Please.
Don't change anything on your actual like work taxes when you guys get married. Don't save like filing together or whatever. You're going to file separately. And so because if you do together, it's considered one income. So all of a sudden you're getting taxed way more because you're considered like in a higher tax bracket.
Got it. Is there that option file? I'm sure the listeners will love this conversation.
Yeah, I know, right?
File separately, but you're married. Isn't that an option?
Yeah, so just file separately. And then, so like, I use a company and he was like, yeah, we run the numbers both ways. Like if you file separately and if you file together, and then we just give you which one's better, like the better tax bracket or the tax break, whatever, not tax break, the better return.
Tax rate.
There it is. The better return that you're going to get. And so when we did it, it was like great. And he was like, yeah, this is really great. Normally it's bad news because people think they're supposed to file jointly. And really you should file like separately and then decide once like how you're going to do it. Like have options.
Okay.
We've got engagements. We've gotten the tax brackets. That's just marriage. It's just marriage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when is the wedding? So wait, I actually did have a question. So sorry. I do want to know when your wedding is as well. but you touched on something about how you feel that some like queer couples feel a certain pressure. Do you see that a lot? Because I, as someone who's in like a very heteronormative relationship, I've never experienced that, but I've also lived a very different, like not queer, very queer dating upbringing, you know, I guess I would put it like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So your question is, explain the like pressure that I see queer couples like fold themselves into to shape these engagement and wedding conventions.
Yeah.
Like it's, how do I explain it? I mean, here's one thing, like I'm obviously, my TikTok is highly curated, a lot of niche lesbian shit, and seeing some like weddings on there, it's like they're both in white gowns and they're I don't know what else. Like, I can't put my finger on it, but it's something me and Melissa talk about is like, you don't have to do this like everyone else. Like, part mm-hmm. of the joy of being queer is there's no book that you have to follow. To answer your question, we absolutely do not have a wedding date because, like, this is never a day that we have dreamed of. And so we have no idea. Mm-hmm.
No, totally. And it's take your time being engaged too. I remember because we got engaged in 2019 and then COVID happened. And it was like, COVID was awful, obviously, but it was also great to be like, we haven't fucking planned anything yet. We're not losing out on anything. Like, we had a friend that had to reschedule 3 times for their wedding date because, you know, this fucking like global pandemic. But weddings are weird. Weddings are so dumb in a lot of ways. I've said this a million times on this podcast because I was talking about the wedding a lot last year. Especially in New York, it's so expensive that like I was like, you know, I was calling around because we didn't know what type of wedding we wanted yet. We'd end up getting married on the beach. But I tried, do you know Rockaway Hotel?
Rockaway Hotel. Oh, did Carolina stay there once?
Yes, she did. Mm-hmm.
It looks really nice. Yes, I know that.
They quoted me, and this was not including like a lot of things, $60,000. And I'm pretty sure, because the best part about New York City is they have most places in New York City have a 9/11 discount because most people don't want to get married on 9/11. I know.
I'm looking at my calendar like right now.
I shit you not. It's a real thing. Like,
so, I mean, it's not funny, but
it's not funny, but it was also like
calendar. Oh, it's a Wednesday. Shoot. All right.
That would be a cheaper day.
Good to know. Good to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then you get all these fucking quotes for like $60,000, $50,000. One was a restaurant, $35,000. And it's not including a lot of stuff. And you're just like, oh my God, this is not worth it. And I think you and me and a lot of our friends, don't have that need or didn't have that need of like, this is like the day. Like I never.
Today's, it's my day.
Like, absolutely. No. Right. Absolutely. Like it's a fucking day. And like, it was a great day and an amazing day. It's actually our 1 year anniversary. It's on Sunday.
Aww.
Yeah. And like,
wow, that was, I feel like, wow.
I know.
I can't believe that.
I flew the fuck by. And I was like, I was telling Aaron, and I feel like he took it the wrong way, but I was like, it was a great day, but it's not one of the most important days of my life. Like, one of my most important days is the day that I met you, you know? Yeah, like, that's the most important. And then once you get married too, you get a lot of people being like, well, what's changed? Like, has it changed? All the boomers are like, wait for it to change. And you're like, dude, we've been together almost 9 years at this point. Like, nothing changed. Mm-hmm. Nothing changed. Mm-hmm. And that's good. Mm-hmm. Like that we didn't get married at like 19 and 17, you know? Like we like knew each other and knew ourselves as much as we could at that time. And then you grow. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
My dad of all people said something to the effect of, you know, getting married is not a big deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially he's like when you have been together so long, you live together, like there's nothing different.
Yeah, I could totally see your dad saying that too because he's so dry and I could sort of see him like not fully looking at you while he says it too. I'm just like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But it's true. So you guys have been together 7 years, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Oh my God. That's amazing. Melissa's great.
It's time. I remember when you just met Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
And look where we are now.
I know. In our bedrooms recording our podcast. Oh my God. It's so like if I look back, I'm just kind of like, wow, I was a dumb little cunt then. I'm still like a dumb little cunt in so many ways, but just like such a child back then. Even like when we met too. I think we met, I was 24, maybe 25, young. Yeah.
Crazy. I know. I've reached out to, wait for it, Okay Cupid.
Oh my God.
To see if I could get my like dating profile from like 2013, but it's like, no, they don't have it. But I would love to see how different It is compared to like how I feel now.
Oh my God. OkCupid was such a fucking shit show. Was it you that was like, OkCupid was like the Tinder for straight people?
No, or, that wasn't me. Not my joke.
Or was it Tinder for lesbians? I can't remember. But it was like,
it definitely had a lesbian bent of all of them. Mm-hmm. And it was before, you know, her, but oh my God. Yeah. OkCupid, the memes.
I never did good on any of the, on the profiles. I remember I signed up for OkCupid. I signed up for Plenty of Fish when I like interned in New York City to try to meet people. I don't know what it is about the vibe that I gave, and probably because I never had any like serious pictures, but I got really weird people. And then one of them, I never dated any of them. I never went out on a date with any of them, but I would somehow into them.
Wait, you were on in your dating life, in your history of being on apps, you never met up with someone from an app?
Never. I would emotionally use them and then ghost them. And a lot of times block them. Because dudes aren't good with a, hey, you know what? I've decided like maybe this isn't the best for me. And they keep going. So maybe I didn't ghost. I just stopped. No, I ghosted. It was like 50-50. It was like I ghosted or they like couldn't take the no. And I was
like,
okay.
I'm sure they deserve to be. I'm sure they never deserve to hear from you ever again. So feel comfortable in that decision.
I will say when I was like on Tinder, it was a very like emotionally low part of myself because I just gotten out of like a really, really bad relationship. So I was totally using these people, which is not okay. And now in my with age, I can say one that I did that and be like, apologies. And honestly, my biggest fear is that because I don't remember like anyone, I don't remember any of their faces, remember nothing. My biggest fear is that I have run into them or I have interacted with them and had no clue, but they remembered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's scary.
Yeah. I even ghosted the first person I was ever actually going to go on a date with. I ghosted because that weekend I met Aaron.
Oh, see, that was a really important ghost.
That was a good ghost. Yeah. I did totally fuck someone, I think, after mine and Aaron's first date, but we weren't official. And we both had that same conversation of like, yeah, no, like I hooked up with someone too. Now we're official. And I was like, cool. Love it. Perfect. yeah. I was like, how to keep the options open.
Of course.
How did you and Melissa meet? I don't think I know this story or I have forgotten it, which makes me a very shitty friend.
No. We met at a friend's Christmas party.
Is this the story you would do on Awkward Sex that I don't want to say this the choice subject matter to not get you in trouble? And this is their vial of blank.
Oh no. Different day.
Different day. Okay. But that was different a party day. Too, because someone brought like vegan like peanut butter cookies or something.
Yes. That was a different time. That was probably around a year before ever meeting Melissa.
Okay.
Yeah. What Natalie's referencing, I went to some kind of party. It was a bunch of lesbians. And the one of the hosts of the party, it was her apartment, and her roommate was away, and she was trying to set up me and her roommate, who was not there. And she was like, show me, or she was like, here, I'll show you her room. And she brought me into her bedroom and she's like, oh, and there's her. Can I say what?
Oh my God, 100%.
Okay, cool. She's like, oh, there's her vial of Coke on the nightstand. And she had like a little tube of La Cocaina on her nightstand. And if you know me, like, I'm extremely boring and not doing a lot of recreational cocaine, but I was still desperate and I still texted her, but that person ghosted me, that roommate with the vial of Coke. She never replied.
Oh my God. Or she thought she did, but then she just said more Coke.
you're right,
which, like, no judgment, like I don't know. Yeah, I was like, I've never I talk about Coke all the time on the podcast. I do like Coke. It just to gets the job done when you need it. Yes, and I say that being like, I've done it like 4.5 times. You know what I mean? Like, I just like it there. Yeah, no, don't ever do coke. It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
It wouldn't be my, it's not a substance that I need others. I need to come down. I never need to go up, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not for me.
No. And like, I feel like cocaine out of like, you know, the smorgasbord of options we have nowadays, it's like a working drug, if that makes sense. Like, you're out, you're partying, you know, you're going to be out till 4 or 5 a.m. You just need something to like pep you up. Like, you're in, this is where the marathon, it's like your little like squeegee thing that you like eat at like mile 17. You're like, I got a long way to go. I need something.
I love that term, a working drug. It's like America runs on, not Dunkin'.
It's cocaine. We'll also make you shit too, like that marathon. Cocaine poops are not fun. Yeah.
Oh God, that's a thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It kind of like works like a diuretic. And also I read somewhere that it's kind of cut with, oh my God, what's the word? Laxative. It's cut with laxative sometimes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, a PSA for everyone out there, be careful with the coke that's on the street these days, because it's, on a serious note.
Get your test strip, your Narcan. Is that it? Where you can test it? No, Narcan is like if something happens.
Yeah, Narcan's when you overdose.
Yeah. And then you can test it for, is it fentanyl?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes, you can test it for, thank you. I couldn't think of the word.
For the audience that can't see, I'm just literally dipping up and down, which is the act of testing your cocaine. Your cocaine.
As Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang, the hosts of Last Culture, used to say, podcasts are a visual medium.
Oh, what gems. Mm-hmm. They were on, I was recommended to watch this show called Glamorous on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't watched it, but I want to.
It is very bad, but I ate the whole season up. What do you call it? Matt Rogers is in an episode.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch it.
No, I think you'll like it. Have you been watching And Just Like That?
Unfortunately.
Oh, okay. So you're not a fan. You're watching because of Melissa?
We watch it because we love the original, mm-hmm. and we kind of hate watch it, you know, like we have to know mm-hmm. what the episode is. We have to see it so we could be able to talk about it. But it really is stunning. It is stunning how bad that show is.
I am obsessed with it.
Wait, you like it?
Yeah, I think I do. Like, season one was bumpy. Season one was like, okay. But season two, I'm like, did you watch the last episode?
No, not yet.
Okay, the last episode, I don't know, like, the past few episodes, I'm like, okay, we're hitting the tone, we're hitting the stride, we're starting to really deal with shit that wasn't really dealt with. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, I can't stand Shay. As a comedian and as a person, I find them very selfish, and I find them to be, well, I mean, we all don't find them fucking funny. They're terrible. But like, I find them to be a very selfish person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's something that grinds my gears is that Miranda was such a dynamo. She like mm-hmm. was a organized and like a you know, lipstick CEO, you know, mm-hmm. and she's just kind of losing herself in this relationship with Che and sleeping on like a couch that one night. It's like, no, Miranda would not do this. And it doesn't feel connected to Miranda the character. It feels like maybe was there a request that it was more autobiographical gave Miranda this queer story arc, but it's hard to watch because she's losing herself. She's losing herself in that relationship.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think you're going to like the upcoming episode. And I think we as an audience are going to see, a shift. Because for sure. I think she totally lost herself, which I thought was interesting for that character too. So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm loving also, I love like the gratuitous sex scenes that we never got in Sex and the City.
That's been a good thing.
Yeah. I'm fucking loving that. And definitely just way more It's way more open. Like fucking yes. Samantha calling herself a cum slut. I was like, knew it, you bitch. I knew it.
Yes. And like fiddling with the strap on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I haven't used one yet. I've always wanted to, but I'm not going to lie. I feel like I don't have the like hip strength for it. Like, I feel like it's not just core. It's like hip.
I'm not going to lie. I definitely make planks a part of my exercise routine because right? like you got to hold a position. And definitely at a certain point in my late 20s, I was like, oh, this, I can't just do this anymore. I need to like train.
No, I think that's like, I feel so lucky not having the penis or the one topping because I don't have to do shit. You know, when people are like, sex is exercise. I was like, really? That sweat is not mine. I am laying on my belly. If I could grab my phone sometimes and just look at TikTok, I would. I mean, not, that sounds really fucked up, but like I don't have to do anything, you know, like they're all doing it. Unless I'm on top, then sure. I do like being on top, like me on them, not topping. I don't know if that'd be topping. I don't think so.
I mean, you're on top of them, correct?
Yes.
I would call that topping. Okay, I mean, sure. Semantics.
Semantics. Okay. Yeah. It's whoever is on top is doing the work.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. When you say topping, are you physically on top? The majority of the time, yes, but I picture it more as like the person doing the giving in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who's doing the giving and who's doing the taking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it. Yeah. Because you could be like I could physically be on top, but the person on the bottom is doing like the work.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If it's not too impersonal of a question, what is your favorite position or like vibe, energy thing to do?
Yeah. What is the vibe? At one point, we were texting a few years ago, but we were talking about couch sex.
You and me texting about this?
Yes.
Oh my God. Cause I was like, I love couch sex. Yes.
Yeah. It was, I don't know how we started talking about it. So a lot of people like jerk off to fall asleep and like, I'm not like that.
Same. It revs me up.
Yeah. So I appreciate like Saturday afternoon or like, post dinner on a weeknight, you know. Ooh, and you know, when we are alive and awake and not about to fall asleep.
We're very similar. We are like morning. We're like more, I can't remember if we've texted about this, and I apologize if I'm just like repeating myself, but I feel like we rarely have sex like right before bed now, like sometimes we will, and I feel like when we do have sex at night now, it's more emotional in the sense that like this, I hope Aaron's okay with me talking about this. So we got married on the beach, right? Long story, there's just for context. So you have to have a permit to get married on the beach. Aaron forgot to submit the permit. So we're days out and it never fucking mattered, but they made him go through stuff and we never got the permit and it never was a problem.
Right.
But like he figured it out like late at night and I was like, we're good. Like, we're good. He's like trying to print this stuff out. We don't have any ink. Like, it's such a mess.
Oh, there's never any ink.
And I just remember being like, okay, like there's nothing else we can do right now. Like, you'll go to Rockaway Beach, you know, at like 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow and like go to the precinct, because you had to go physically to the precinct and request this permit. And I remember we were cuddling because I was like, okay, he's had a moment. Mm-hmm. And then he was like, I kind of have a boner. And I was like, heard. Like, we're good. We can work this out together. Like, I feel like when we have sex at night now, it is more like I had a bad day, or like I need something more than just the emotional connection to kind of like level me out. Mm-hmm. Aaron, I hope that's okay. Permit sex. Mm-hmm. Permit sex. I was such a shit show. Shockingly, New York City cops, Rockaway Queens cops. I remember they were like, yeah, the guy who does them, he's not here. He'll give you a call. It was like, we'll call him O'Houlihan. O'Houlihan will call you. And then he called him that night. And he was like, yeah, come tomorrow. And he wasn't there. Aaron waited for hours. And I was like, we don't need this fucking.
What time did you get there?
Ah, oh, shit. I can't remember. I never had to go. Like, that was, okay. Aaron was like, I got this. I'll take care of it. I don't remember, but it was like, it would have been like the day before and the two days before that he was like trying, kept going to this. And I was just kind of, we both were like, you know what, whatever fucking happens, like, we've got the paperwork showing we tried to do it if anyone stops us, because we needed a permit because we had a speaker. And so it was like, you can't, if you're going to like have volume on the beach, you got to have a permit. But nothing, no one ever came. It was never an issue. Otherwise that, or like we're drunk and then we're like, ooh, let's be like we were young, yes. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, very morning. And like weekends.
Morning. Man,
yeah.
We are never morning. I mean, maybe once a week there's a morning session. But okay. It's always a weekend.
How?
If it's during the morning.
How, this is such a personal question. How often do you guys say you have, like, on average per week or like per month? Or
I will probably need approval for that statistic.
Okay, that's totally fair.
So I'll withhold. But we'll say a range of to times a week.
Oh my God, I'm so impressed.
Maybe bleep that out. Bleep out what I just said, but keep in your reaction.
Okay. No, that's so great. I love that for y'all.
Yeah. You know, fighting the lesbian bed death, you know, trope.
I feel like my sex drive has definitely dropped since getting older. Like, I was definitely, me and Aaron were actually talking about this the other day. Like, he used to have a lower sex drive and I used to have a higher sex drive. Like, I would constantly be initiating, constantly just like rubbing my butt on his dick to try to just manually get it hard. And now I'm like, I feel like I'm so tired all the time. What do you have advice? Like, I want to get to more. And we've talked about it. And then obviously life gets in the way. Like, we'll like be family for part of this week and then like he'll be gone and then like I've got like work plus like shows and stuff like that. But, like, what's your
I want to stress that isn't an average. Like I'm remembering recently we had a string of like we were at a friend's for a weekend, we were at my family's, and you know, I think we maybe went like probably in 3 weeks, maybe once, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like it's definitely a range. So I don't want to, world, don't take it. Don't, I am not your pinnacle of how to be horny all the time. That nothing is further from the truth.
Totally. And I also, and don't want anyone to think like, you got to be having sex like a certain amount of times per week. Like, it's very personal. Yeah. And everyone's libidos yeah. are different, and that's absolutely yes. okay.
Yeah.
I
think on the weeks where the going's good, what makes for the going being good? I think just kind of the normal shit that dictates if you're in a good mood, like, okay, did I sleep enough? Mm-hmm. Did I exercise? Was I eating really late? Like, that kind of stuff. Making just feeling energized. Because yeah, I, like I said, I'm not like go at it and then go sleepy. So like I have to be alert.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Would you say you initiate more, or whose libido is higher? And again, that's a personal question and we do not have to answer.
My partner's is higher.
Yeah. Is that hard? Yeah. It's being the person that has the lower libido.
I think in think when I was younger, I struggled with it more because I think I'm just more comfortable with myself and certainly in this relationship that I know how to like communicate. And if I'm not in the mood to like not feel like I'm ruining their life.
Yeah, I mean, that takes some learning. And especially mm-hmm. when I was younger, there is like, I feel like I was like just talking about this in a podcast. There is all this pressure for sex and there's all this pressure on women in like hetero, I'm only speaking mm-hmm. for like hetero relationships of like, you got to be doing it so often. And then like how, once you get there, that trope of like, once you get married, like they're no longer having sex anymore because they're quote unquote tired. And like the idea that you have to break that like stereotype and all this stuff, like the first that you have to be having like all the sex, and then like what does it mean when you don't want to that much anymore? And it's I'm really rambling, but long story short is that like we're not taught all the ways to be intimate without being intimate. We're just kind of shown this one.
Yeah.
And we're told like, don't do it. Like, cause you and me both went to Catholic school, right? Like you went to Catholic school.
I didn't, but I was raised Catholic.
You're raised Catholic.
Yeah. Yep.
So there is this like, here it is, but never touch it. It's weird. Don't instead of like being like, here's all these other ways. They're like, this is the only way. And you can only do it when you've been what? Married. Bringing it full fucking circle, which I think is another reason why I've never really cared about marriage too.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the perfect description of marriage is in Little Women with Florence Pugh.
Yeah, such a good version.
Mm-hmm.
And when Greta was robbed.
I know. And then it's that scene with her and Timothy Chalamet. And she describes it perfectly, that it is this transaction and mm-hmm. what it means for that person and what it means for the man. And I was like, yep, perfect. Like, mm-hmm. mic drop. But yeah, Greta was robbed. Mm-hmm. Did you love Barbie? I saw that you saw.
Yes, loved it. It's a delight. Instant classic.
Hells yeah. We're going on Saturday. I'm excited.
So exciting. Where are you seeing it?
Union Square Theater.
Great. It'll be chaotic. That's great. That's perfect.
Is that where you went?
No, we went to Williamsburg.
Okay.
Which was a scene. There was a Barbie chant at one point.
Oh my God.
A very responsive audience. And we were all in it together. It was honestly very cute.
Oh, hells yeah. I don't know if you've ever been to Cobble Hill Theater. Not Cobble Hill, Court Street. But it was a very interactive theater, I'd call it. And it went out of business. And so now there's not been a movie theater like that. Like, you want to go see, like, Scream. You want someone yelling at the, like, theater.
Yeah.
At the screen. Yeah. So I'm excited. That'll be fun.
Great.
Okay. Yay. Well, this is honestly, it's been a really good episode. We've hit all the bases.
Honestly, it's been a fucking amazing episode.
It's been amazing. I do always love to ask my guests, my friends, if there's anything we did not talk about that you wanted to.
Good question. What do we not talk about? You know what? Something I've been thinking about lately is I've realized part of my Catholic upbringing, not even that, but part of sexual shame for me as an ex-Catholic is for me being a mask on the mask spectrum. I was like, oh my God, there is virtually no porn showing someone like that I feel like I look like, and not even my body, but just like, you know, style, vibe, you know, like a mask lesbian. And I don't know, that kind of clicked a few weeks ago. I'm like, oh, I wonder how that lack of representation, you know, played into that you know, Catholic sex shame du jour.
Yeah, like if I don't see myself, then what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's that was when in the past, or do you feel like now there is more representation, or even now?
Even now. Even yeah. Now. I mean, it's there, but it's crazy. Like how you have to really search in the, no pun intended, anals of like the internet, you know?
I think that's a really good point. And like, I watch like all types of porn. I love all of it. And, but what I find really frustrating with like, so my porn of choice right now is Pornhub. I do go for Pornhub at the moment. But like, you have to really search for things that are not like very big fake tits, squirting. It's like all like the main page, and you have to like be very specific of like, no, I'm looking for like voyeurism with X, Y, and Z. And even they're like, no, I think you want like big tit squirting. And it's like, I don't, not right now. Like, good for them. Not right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah. And then sometimes, like, I don't know about you, but I'll find myself just out of like laziness or like just exhaustion of like, well, let me just.
Oh, totally.
One of these. Yeah. But I'm trying to really think now, like, I do feel like, well, all like majority of the lesbian porn I've ever watched has always been from the male gaze. I feel like some of the best, like lesbian porn is behind like paywalls, which like it should be, and I should be paying for my porn. I'm not, but that's, I feel like where majority of it is too, which sucks. Mm-hmm. But I do like, not to keep rambling, but I think that's a good point of like, if you don't see yourself in this medium, it does affect you. Mm-hmm. You know, like we've seen that in other mediums, not just porn, of how that makes people feel a certain way, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Tale as old as time.
Yeah. But it's so important because, you know, people are, majority of people for the most part are sexual and want to be, see themselves in this as well.
Yeah. So that's just a little golden nugget that occurred to me in the past couple of weeks that seems like a fit for this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm happy to dive more in that too. Oh my God, I had something and I forgot it. I do this every time. Every time I like could record after work, I forget how like words work.
They're tough.
Porn. Where is it going with porn?
Representation. Squirting and big tits.
It's so many big fake tits. It drives me crazy. And I'm like, I have nothing against like any type of surgery, any type of plastic surgery. But I just like, yeah, I just want to see them move a little bit, you know? I want to see them shake. I want them a little
some natties, some naturals.
Oh my God. When I find like some saggy boobs too, like a 30-year-old saggy boobs, I'm like, yes, thank you. Thank you.
It's real.
What's like, what's your go-to right now? We'll say search. Like, what's your search words right now?
Search words? The search words are just, like, strap on. And specifically in Reddit, I know you mentioned paywalls, but, like, to find some, you know, not male gaze stuff is in Reddit. And I'm sure you know that, but
I don't think I knew actually. Success.
Oh no.
That's good to know. Reddit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always feel like I'm a little behind on the porn. Like I remember in college, I don't remember what the site was called, but it had no video, it had no pictures. It had a description and a link. And that is what I would use. And I was totally addicted to masturbating in college too, and a little bit of high school. I would like lock my roommate out and she'd be like, what are you doing? And I'd be like, oh no, I was sleeping. So sorry. But I'd just be like on my computer, like this, I was on my computer. I did not have an iPhone. Was just like, okay, sucking tits, click. Like, okay, big dick, is this enough? And like, I don't know about you, but it has to, the vibe has to hit right. Like, it's not just like a sex act. Like, it has to be right for that moment for me to get me off. So I'd go through all these links and be like, nope.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Reddit. I'll get it. Just Reddit, sponsor this pod.
Sponsor this pod. You can get free porn from Reddit. Come. I don't know.
Exactly. But yeah, pay for the good shit. I don't pay for the good shit. I should.
I know. And like, I feel like everyone says that. I don't know anyone that's paying for the good shit. And they should. And I should. I need to just start paying. Even if I'm not watching it, I feel like I should just start paying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if this was someone's joke. I told it on the podcast too, but she was talking about how, like, I think it was Pornhub got rid of all porn that they could not confirm was consensual. And she was like, yeah, that's great. Good for you, Pornhub. And then she got on the next day and all her favorite porn was gone. And same thing happened to me. There's still one. It was a gangbang. But they interviewed her in the beginning. Like, if I'm watching a gangbang, like, I have to see the interview before where she's like, yep, I want, like, three dicks in me at once, in one hole, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, like, erased off the internet. And I was like, oh, my God, was that not consensual? No.
How do they go back in time and be like, yeah, this one was consensual. This one wasn't.
I don't know. She was, like, younger. Like, the whole thing was, like, it was her, like, quote-unquote 18th birthday, which I assume, like, if she was older.
Okay.
I hope. I feel like I'm, like, everyone's gonna be like, wow, you're disgusting, Natalie. That's how dare no, you. It no, was no. in the title. I don't know, like, the parameters were or, like, what the filters were to be, like, okay, not okay.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever received Belicia? I think it's Belicia Films. It's, like, porn. It still kind of feels male gazy, but it's like porn by women. So it has like actual storylines,
mm-hmm.
but it does feel like a very hetero. I think there's a few like queer storylines, but it is very like, oh, roommate and girl finally fuck, like, and things like that. But honestly, it was good. You can pay mm-hmm. for it, but you can find it for free on Pornhub too.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've seen them, but I'll check it out.
Yeah. That's the next Drake. Once they get rid of, like, the actors and everyone on porn strike, I think in a heartbeat, everything will change.
100%.
Yeah. Well, on that note.
don't cross pickets.
Don't cross the picket line. I love it. Thank you guys so much again for listening, rating, liking, subscribing. Someone just honked a horn. I don't know if I talked over it or if you heard it. I will see you in 2 weeks. Remember, rate, like, subscribe, all the things. Awkward Sex in the City. Find us in your city. Find us online. And I guess online, like the podcast. Find us IRL, and we'll see you soon.